Now I'd ask you to turn, please, in God's Word to verses that we read in Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we read from chapter 3, verse 17, through to chapter 4, verse 1. And I want to speak about those verses today. In the past week, the news has been full of a couple of items in particular that have taken up a fair bit of time in the news. There's been the situation at Westminster where members of Parliament have been breaking away from the political party that they belong to. And I think there's been 9 Labour Party MPs that have broken away from the Labour Party, and 3 Conservatives, and 8 of those Labour and 3 of the Conservatives have joined together in a sort of a loose association, and they're called the Independent Group, and they're known as Tiggers because the initials TIG, the Independent Group, so that's what they're being called, and they have felt that they don't belong in their party anymore. They're not willing to follow the leader of the party because of the direction that their political party is going in. There's too many conflicts between what they personally hold to and what their party holds to. That's one of the things that's been in the news. Something else that's been in the news again and again is the girl who went off to join Islamic State and got married very quickly to a Dutch man, and Islamic State have lost the territory that they were holding on to in Syria. Her husband has been captured and taken off to one place, and she is in a holding camp in Syria. And she wants to return to Britain, where she had lived all her life, until as a 15-year-old she had gone off to Syria to join Islamic State and be a bride there with the intention of producing future Islamic warriors. It didn't work out the way she wanted. And now she's in a situation where she doesn't want to be where she is. There's no future in being there. She can't go to Holland, where her husband is a citizen, because the Dutch refuse to have anything to do with her. She can't go to Bangladesh, where her mother is from, because she's not a citizen of Bangladesh, and the Bangladeshis don't seem to want her to become a citizen there. And the Home Secretary in the United Kingdom is seeking to remove her citizenship of the United Kingdom. And where does she belong? What citizenship should she have? That's been a big thing in the news. These two issues of following, who do we follow, and citizenship, where do we belong? And these are two things that the Apostle Paul writes about here in these verses in Philippians 3 and into the start of chapter 4. First of all, he speaks about those that we follow and those that we shouldn't follow, and then he speaks about where we belong as Christians. So thinking first of all then about examples that we should follow or shouldn't follow, Paul says in verse 17, he says, follow me. He says, here's someone that you can follow in life. Paul says, follow me. He says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Now, Paul knew that he wasn't perfect. he has acknowledged that in the book of Philippians. But he knows also that he is earnestly seeking to follow Jesus Christ. And he writes about that in several places in the different churches that he writes to. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And that's the way Paul looked at things. He was serious about following the example of Jesus Christ. And so he could say to others, "You follow my example, and I'll show you how you can try to follow the example of Christ, and you seek to follow my example." So Paul believed that the role of example was very important in the Christian life. And I'm sure many of us here today who are Christians, we can testify that God really has used the example of other believers in our lives and for our good. Most people who are Christians have learned a great deal from the example of other believers. There are things that other Christians who have gone before us that they have learned in their lives. There are practices that they have developed. There are things that they have found, this is good, and we have learned from them. And people have been a great blessing to us. It's been good for us to have had examples that we were confident that we could follow those good examples. Christianity is something that makes more sense when you see it lived out in practice. And those of us who have been Christians for many years, we should be at the stage where we are the example setters to those who are newer in the faith and to those who are not yet Christians, that they would have people that they could see and they could say, well, that's what it is to be a Christian. Imagine if you are a believer, imagine that over the past week, you have had an apprentice with you. You've had someone who's been with you throughout that whole week, and they have been an apprentice Christian. And they've been learning on the job, and they've been learning from you. They've been learning what it is to be a Christian. And they've been watching you and all you've been doing. They've been observing you as you've read in the scriptures. They've seen what the Bible means to someone who is a Christian. They've been able to observe you at prayer, and they know that, well, he or she, that she's praying now. They're speaking with God. They've been able to see everything that you've been doing, and they've noted the things that you don't do. They've been able to see what part your fellow Christians play in your life and in your thinking. They've been able to hear how your faith is expressed in the things that you say and the things that you don't say in your conversations, whether they're with believers or unbelievers. If that had been the case, how confident would you be to say, as Paul says, follow my example? Paul was confident. He was able to say, follow me. I'm seeking to follow Jesus Christ, so you seek to follow me. In Hebrews, the writer there talks about considering Jesus or fixing your thoughts on Jesus. And that's what Paul sought to do. He was always thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He sought to take every thought captive so that it was a thought that was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to strive to be as Christians also. There are many people today who need good examples to follow. And God would call upon us to be the good example that others need to follow. There are many who have very, very little Christian witness that they see that is meaningful to them. And that's one of the reasons why we should strive to maintain a work among children and young people, that they would have Christian lives that they could see, and that would show them the way to go. So in terms of example, Paul says, follow me, verse 17. But then in the next verse, he goes on to say, but don't follow them. And he talks about other people. And they're not an example that he wanted the Philippians to follow. The way other people are living is something that they are to avoid. And he speaks about these people in verses 18 and 19. He says that there are many who walk or who live, he says, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. I don't think Paul is thinking there about people who were pagans. He's not writing about godless people. But he's writing, I think, about people who believed themselves to be Christians, but they weren't Christians at all. And sadly, it can be the case today, as it was in New Testament times, that there can be people who are within the church, within the people who gather in places of worship, but who are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. There are people who may attend worship, but the reality is that what it says there at the end of verse 19, they set their mind on earthly things. People who seldom give God a thought in normal life. Jesus Christ is hardly ever in their minds. Their minds are instead on earthly things. They're concerned about what you can see and smell and taste and touch. Their minds are filled with their own little kingdom, their own little affairs. They aren't interested, really, in the cause of Jesus Christ and the advance of his kingdom. They spend their time thinking about earthly things, and Jesus Christ is seldom in their thoughts. The things that they attach themselves to are sometimes even things that are shameful. Paul talks about them glorying in what is actually shameful. These people would profess to have faith, but it's a faith that is false, and it's a faith that doesn't have the supporting evidence. And Paul isn't saying, follow these people. He's saying, make sure that you don't follow these people, because their end or their destiny is destruction. And people who have a little bit of religion, but whose minds are really set on earthly things, their end is destruction. And Paul warns about this. Don't be like this. Don't think you can live for the things that are here today and gone tomorrow, and have a little bit of religion in your life and all will be well. Paul says the end of people like that is destruction. And we need to search our own hearts to make sure that we're not these kind of people. That we're not those whose minds are just filled with things that are for here and now and aren't going to feature in the eternal age to come. It saddened Paul that there were people like that. And he says, I tell you, even with weeping, I've often told you about them, and I tell you about them now, he says, even weeping. He warns against this bad example that people could follow. And he weeps over the fact that there are people who are like this. So on the one hand, you have the example that's good to follow. Follow the example of Paul as he seeks to follow the example of Christ. And on the other hand, there are those whose minds are set on earthly things, and the Lord doesn't feature in their priorities, in their thinking, in their planning, and in their hopes. Their end is destruction. Paul knew that his end was not destruction. His end, his destination, was eternal life. So we need to be careful who we follow, and we need to be careful about the example that we are setting. It's a really bad thing to follow a bad example, but you know what? It's an even worse thing to be a bad example. It's bad when you go the wrong way yourself. But if you lead your children the wrong way, if you lead your grandchildren the wrong way, that's a much, much worse thing. To bring other people to hell with you is far worse than going to hell yourself. And so Paul warns us here, make sure that you're not like this. To be leading people to destruction, that's a terrible thing. And instead, Paul sought that people should join him as he sought to follow the example of Jesus Christ. So in these first three verses, Paul is writing about following. Who will we follow? And who will follow us? And then in the next verse, and the other verses here, he's talking about where we belong. Where does Shemima Begum belong? Lots of people are saying, well, she doesn't belong here. And she probably feels like she doesn't belong anywhere. Where do you belong? Where do you fit in? Where is your citizenship? Paul says, regarding Christians here in verse 20, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven. He's contrasting that with those who set their mind on earthly things. That's all they have. But Paul says, that's not all we have. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have our mind set on earthly things that aren't going to last, but we have something better than that. The true Christian understands that this world as it is at present isn't going to last, that this isn't our true home, and that's something that's emphasized in the book of Hebrews that we've been looking at. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. And he says, from there, we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 20. The Lord Jesus, who in verse 21, he says, will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. As Christians, we're to remember that we are not the most fundamental thing about us is not that we are members of the United Kingdom or citizens of the United Kingdom, but that our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We are members of God's family and household. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a lasting place for us in our Father's house. In the language of Hebrews 11, we are those who are longing for a better country, a heavenly one, because that is where our citizenship lies. Now, you can lose your earthly citizenship. You can be cut off by a country that in theory you belong to. Do the wrong things and you can be cut off and lose that citizenship, but you'll never lose your heavenly citizenship. And Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, and there it is safe. And this thought of living in one place but having your citizenship in another place was something that would have made sense to the people of Philippi, because Philippi was one of those very special cities that was called a Roman colony. And Philippi was hundreds of miles away from Rome, but if you were a citizen of Philippi, you were a Roman citizen. It was a colony city, and there were lots of retired soldiers, Roman soldiers that would have moved to Philippi. And they had that special status that although they lived in Philippi, they were citizens of Rome. And that was a special privilege. And Paul says it's the same kind of thing with us. We live here in this present world, but our citizenship, where we belong, is in the world to come, the new heaven and new earth. And he tells us that we're to look forward to receiving the reality of that citizenship. He talks about how we're eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus, the Savior, to come. And that's the second coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are eagerly waiting for Jesus to bring this present world to an end and to bring about the eternal age that will never end. And on that great day, when Jesus comes, we're told that he will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. And this is a wonderful prospect for all of those who find that your body isn't working the way it used to. You probably had a time in life, everything was working fine. Everything was grand. You didn't need to go near a doctor or a health center or anything like that, but maybe it's not like that now. Things are breaking down and things aren't working, and you wouldn't describe your body as being a glorious body. You wouldn't expect yourself to feature in catalogues, modeling clothes, and all of those things. But, Paul says, when Christ returns, he will transform our lowly body in order that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Forever, Christians will have a body that is glorious. Body that the angels will look at and marvel at what they see. Christ will transform his people. As Jesus was transfigured on the top of the mountain and his glory shone out from him, that's the kind of body that Christ's people will have forever. And the more we remember that, and the more we think about that, the more it will help us to live our lives, our temporary lives, here in this world. And Paul encourages us to think about what is to come, of where we belong, where our citizenship is, and what the future is for us if we have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we think about those things, the more useful we will be within this present world. One of the greatest of the Christian people who were reformers within society in Britain was Lord Shaftesbury. Towards the end of his life, Lord Shaftesbury wrote these words. He said, "I do not think that in the last 40 years I have lived one conscious hour that was not influenced by the thought of our Lord's return." Here was a man who was trying to fix things that were desperately wrong in society. And every hour he was thinking about the return of Jesus Christ. I want to make a difference here because my Lord is returning. A man who was immensely heavenly minded, but a man who was of great earthly use. And that's what Paul is exhorting us to be. The Apostle John writes about the effect that our knowledge of what lies ahead for Christians has upon us here and now. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. John says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And he says, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." John says, when you have this hope, you will seek to purify yourself. And having our mind set on heavenly things helps us to have pure thoughts and to purify ourselves in this world. Unbelievers whose minds are fixed on earthly things, they need to see that there are other people who are thinking about other things and who have a different hope, a different cause, and a different agenda. That there are people who are living for things that they aren't going to lose. And so we're reminded that we have a citizenship, and it's not here in this present earthly system, but our citizenship is in heaven. And you can't lose that. And then the first verse here in chapter 4, Paul is continuing to talk about, he's talking about belonging and where we belong. And here he's writing, he's communicating the sense that we belong together. He says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." He's not really saying anything new in this verse. He's telling his readers that they are to stand fast in the Lord, that they're to hold their ground. And that's what he wanted. But see the way that he describes the people he's writing to. He calls them his beloved and his longed-for brethren. He calls them his joy and his crown. And Paul delights in the fact that in the church in Philippi, that he had fellow believers, that he had people who were his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he looked upon them as being those that he longed to be with them. He loved those people. And he calls them his very joy and crown. And those are wonderful words. And they display an attitude of deep and tender loving care on the part of the Apostle Paul. And that's part of the example that he wanted others to follow. This is part of the example of Paul. He knows that Christ dearly loves his people. And so Paul follows the example of Christ, and he has this deep love for his fellow believers. And so they're to follow his example. And they're to have that love for one another that they see that Paul has for them. And so Paul is showing us here that the love that we are to have for our fellow believers. We're to see them as being our brothers and sisters. They're not people who have a loose connection to us. They are our family members, our brothers and sisters. They are to be our joy and crown, those that we delight in, those that we rejoice in, those that we love and those that we long for. We are to be heavenly minded in our attitude to our fellow Christians. We're to resist every temptation to dismiss a fellow believer as just being a bit of a nuisance as being a bit of an awkward person, as being someone who's more trouble than they're worth. We're not to think those kind of thoughts about our fellow believers. That's not how Paul addressed the people that he is writing to. We're to see them as belonging with us. We all belong together as followers of Jesus Christ. He has brought us together into his family. We are to see our fellow Christians not as earthly things, but as those who will be forever in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're to think about them as being those who will be completely transformed, that they will shine gloriously like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to try to see one another in that light, to see our fellow believers as being citizens of heaven, those who will be like Christ. And the value that we attach to our fellow believers is a good measure of the degree to which we have the mind of Christ. We're to have this clear view then of where we belong. Our citizenship is in heaven, and therefore our end is not destruction. But heaven is not just for you, it's not just for me, it's for all of the Lord's saved people. They all belong together, brothers and sisters, brethren in Christ. God's word teaches us something about who we're to follow and who we're not to follow. And it teaches us about where we belong and what our priorities and thoughts are to be. Amen.